Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today, our passage is Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you will go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. There are two main points I have for today's devotional. 1. God is at work, even in grief and hopelessness. The story of Ruth and Naomi take place during the time of Judges. It was a time where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was also a famine in the land. Times were hard. They were especially hard for Naomi, who was in deep grief, not only over the loss of her husband, but also her two sons. Loss after loss, tragedy after tragedy. When an Israelite husband died, it was a custom for his brother or near relative to marry the widow to continue the brother's name. But as she lost both her sons, that's why she wanted her daughter-in-laws to leave her and go back to their hometowns, as she had nothing and no one to give them. Naomi was in despair. She said, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" She asked to be called Mara instead, which means bitter. Sometimes bitterness clouds hope in our lives. As Naomi had no son to give, she gave up hope. The bitterness made her hopeless as she forgot about her distant relative, Boaz, who God would preserve to continue her family. But more on that later this week. Don't allow bitterness to lie to you that God is not at work. His providence is there. Again, God is at work, even in grief and hopelessness. Verse 1 starts with, "There was a famine in the land." And the last verse of this chapter, verse 22, says, "They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest." Look at that contrast. God had a plan in store for them, and little did they know that they were about to step into his provision, not just with food, but with so much more. The second point, number 2, radical commitment goes beyond bitterness. In verse 16, Ruth shows her radical commitment to Naomi, saying, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." This is an incredible sign of commitment and loyalty, because Ruth is, at least on the exterior, committing to a life of being a widow and having no children. She's also committing to adapt and take on this unfamiliar land with its unfamiliar language, culture, and customs. Yet, it is her declaration, "Your God will be my God," that shows her willingness to leave her Moabite religious background to follow the God of Israel. Perhaps her husband, Elimelech, had told her of the God of Israel and all the amazing things he had done for them in his love. We don't know exactly when Ruth had decided to put her faith in God, but regardless, despite the bitterness of life, she chose to commit herself. But what was in it for Ruth? Following Naomi seemingly meant no good for her, at least in the eyes of the world. Yet this is what Jesus did for us. What drove Jesus to commit himself to us? It was love. Last week, I visited a modern Gong Fu tea house in Chicago. They call their employees tea tenders. As our tea tender was explaining all these facts about the tea we were about to drink, we asked her how many steeps the tea was good for. She said it was up to us, but for her personally, she said that as soon as she tasted any sign of bitterness, she was done. Steep 3 tasted sweet and light. However, it was in steep 4 where I first recognized some bitterness on my palate. I made a mental note that our tea tender would probably be out after this steep. However, we continued on up until steep 7. I could definitely taste the bitterness, but at the same time, the depth of flavor was increased and much more present than in the earlier and lighter steeps. How often are we too quick to bow out of faith or succumb to hopelessness and defeat at the first sign of bitterness? Perhaps it is in the presence of bitterness that we taste the sweeter presence of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you that even in dark seasons, you are always at work and moving. We thank you, God, for the story of Ruth and Naomi, and how, even in hopelessness, it was clear that you were working behind the scenes to provide for them and to eventually have this lineage that will lead to Jesus. So similarly, in our lives today, help us, God, not to be blinded by bitterness, but to cling on to the hope that is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.